So, Hanukkah is Milashon Chinuch, right? So it's a pretty good time to get together and talk about things. And even if you're not a mechanech, right? Even if you're not going into the world of hashba, we're all mechanechim, right? Like, I think that's one of the sodos of this whole idea that we're going to speak about today, which is we're all teachers, we're all students, and we're all the lesson. Right? That is all true, always. And so kind of how we want to break the whole thing down is we want to first look at how is this whole thing related to Hanukkah, this major idea, and then go deeper into what is Chachma, which is what Hanukkah is all about. Hanukkah is about understanding specific divine spiritual wisdom, and then what does that mean for us practically as we go out into the world. Speaking of Atlanta, when I was in Atlanta, I heard a maisa, and I thought the maisa was so beautiful and so gorgeous. I think be'etzem, it kind of sits at the core, right? Maybe by the end it will make sense why I opened with this maisa, but the maisas are like really beautiful. So there was a wealthy person who wanted to see Eliyahu Navi. I would too. If he wants to show himself, I'm very happy. And he went to the Baal Shem Tov. Right, it was also, by the way, Yud Tes Kislev this week. So, like, we got Hasidus, and we've got Hanukkah, and we've got Futner, and we've got the whole planet all coming together, coalescing for our time together today. Anyway, he went to the Baal Shem Tov, and he said, I want to see Eliyahu Navi. The Baal Shem Tov said, you want to see Eliyahu Navi? There's a family. It's a woman, she's a widow, and her children, and she lives out just outside the city in a small little shack. It's almost Pesach. For Pesach, show up at her house with tons of food, like mamish, like make their chag and spend chag with them, right? Spend Seder night with them, you'll see Eliyahu Navi. He goes, buys everything he can get his hands on, the best herring, the best steaks, the everything, the whole nine yards, wine and grape juice and candies for the kids. And he goes to the house. And while he's there, you know, he shows up. They're all like flabbergasted. I can't believe it. You know, like, is he showed up. And they have the most amazing, amazing time. And he's like waiting and waiting and waiting. And then Chag is over and they do Avdala and he goes home. And he's very confused and very frustrated, and spent a lot of money and didn't spend Chag with his family, and like mamish, like turned his whole life upside down for this trip. But like the Baal Shem Tov said, like the Baal Shem Tov, Mistam is not a liar. I think there's one, I hope. And anyway, the next time he had the opportunity to go see the Baal Shem Tov, he went back to the Baal Shem Tov. This is like, you know, two months later, and a little less than that. And he goes to the Baal Shem Tov and he says, you know, I did everything you said, top to bottom, and I did not see Eliyahu Navi. So you didn't see Eliyahu Navi? He said, right, that's what I said. I didn't see him. He said, you know what? It's about to be Shavuos. I want you to buy tons of stuff and go back to the family and like spend that chag with them, and I guarantee you're going to see Eliyahu Navi. And he's like, are you sure? Because last time it didn't work. I'm sure you're going to go and spend chag with this family, and you will, you'll get what you're looking for. So he does the same thing. They get the herring with the cheesecake and, like, you know, make sure that everything is right. And he makes this trip and this journey. And as he gets there, he's excited and skeptical at this point. He's about to knock on the door and the window's open and he hears the kids crying, saying, mommy, mommy, you know, like, we don't have any food for Chag. Like, what are we going to do? It's Chag in only a few hours. And she says to them, don't worry, don't worry. Remember by Pesach when Eliyahu Navi showed up with all that food? Right? I'm sure Eliyahu Navi's going to show up again. Right? And he heard that and he understood. Oh, right. And of course, wow. The messer is, we're always looking all over the place outside of us for where Kadosh Baruch Hu is working in the world. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu is working through us and through everyone that we interact with all the time. And Eliyahu Navi is not just a person, but is a reality of Siyata Deshmaya and help that's happening in our lives. And we have to become awake to it. We have to become aware to it. So that's Agdama to this major idea, which is if you were in Greece at the time of, if you were in Yerushalayim, during the time of Hanukkah, you would just laugh at that story. That would be a laughable, ha ha ha, that's a joke, right? Because...
Okay, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, I have to ask you a question.
Okay.
There's rice and gongtan for the first time ever. There's like 5 bags and there's bugs in this bag of rice.
Throw it away.
The whole bag?
Oh, yeah.
I should just take the bugs out?
Unless you want to go through like every grain of rice.
Yeah, I'm going through every grain.
Okay, and that's on your time.
Are we still able to use it?
Yeah.
Like, take out the bugs?
Yeah, you have to wash it. But...
I will. I'm still able to use the rice?
Yeah, but you have to clean it and then wash it and sift it and then go through it again.
Yeah, okay, fine. Okay. I'm so sorry.
We get to learn about Shambhais too.
Well, for sure.
and bugs.
And bugs. Yeah. Don't eat bugs.
Yeah, right.
Right. That's the halacha.
I can't do it.
That's what I was... yeah.
I'm just so grossed out.
Right?
Okay, I'm sorry.
No problem. You can join the show.
It's not even regular rice.
They like sushi. They're smart bugs.
Yeah. They're actually about tuba bugs, yeah, that are looking for.
That's funny. They're looking for the next more
sushi.
Event.
Yeah.
Okay, so that would be laughable. What's really Hanukkah all about? Like, what's the yisod of everything we're doing? So the yisod is over this next week, right? This is a battle for our spirituality. It's a battle for our ability to stay connected to a world that is mystical in nature, right? Meaning, comes along Greece, and that's where philosophy is born, right? Anybody know what philosophy means?
Love of
good
wisdom.
Good, yes, love of wisdom. That's awesome.
Mike.
Yeah? It, that's what it means, right? And the Rambam speaks about it in that way. And they loved wisdom, and that's Geshmak. And that's going to be one of the questions we have to look at over here is like, what's wrong with that? Like, that's good. Don't we want to be philosophers? And like, we don't want to be philosophers. But why not? Don't you love wisdom? I love wisdom. I mean, it got me here. So that's one kasha. And we have to work out, right, when you're actually looking at the story, why is the nace done through oil? Why is it done through light? Why is it done at the menorah, dafka? And why the Kohanim? Those are maybe like the big question. And is there a streamline, one theme that Chazal wanted us to take from that as we go forward? And maybe a third question we have to think about is, it says in the Gemara, my Chanukah, what is Chanukah? And it goes through the story. And at the end it says that they found a pach echad, right? Pach katan echad, with enough shemen that would last for one day. And it lasted for 8 days. So the idea that the shemen lasted longer than it was supposed to, okay, I understand that. That's where the miracle is. The idea that it lasted for 8 days, obviously we've been around enough to know that 8 is going to take us to Lamala Mina Teva. It's telling us that this was a miracle, fine. But why does it matter that it could only last for one day? Meaning, even if it could last for 2 hours or 3 days, if it lasted up till 8 days, we'd still get the point, right? But Chazal make a very clear here. It's a pach echad, lahadlik yom echad, and it lasted for 8 days. So why is the echad so important to the Lashon of Chazal? And then maybe the last question, which is the Beis Yosef's question, why are we celebrating for 8 nights? There are only 7 nights of miracle. First night is good, right? What's the theme that draws us all the way through? So this is amazing, unbelievable, life-changing. And I went to look for one a minute ago and I couldn't find it. And I'm sure if I ask my wife, we'll find it now. But I wanted to put an olive in front of us and say, what is that? And then you would have all said it was an olive. Right? But I don't have it. So pretend there's an olive over there. Okay? There you go. There's our makeshift olive. And olives have like this major, major significance in Torah. Right? So what is it? Good, that's the right answer.
Kazayas.
Right? It's a kazayas.
No,
it is a zayas.
It's
right. You never.
This is a kazayas.
Right.
No, it's right. Kazayas.
Right. It's a problem when you have to ask how many olives does it take to make a kazayas. Right.
I literally asked that question last night.
Right. That's a problem that we live in today because olives are a different size than they used to be. So if you were looking at an olive and you said it was an olive, you'd be partially right. Because what is it?
Oil.
Potential oil. Mm-hmm. Great. So what is it?
Multiple things.
It's more than one thing, right? It's an olive. It's potential oil. What is it?
Round.
Right. It happens to be round. It is in the shape of round. But it is an olive in the shape of round. There's also oil. It's also?
Fire.
Fire. Right. And that's basically going to be the secret of Hanukkah, is that Yavan looks at the world and they see an olive and that's where it ends. And they eat the olive. They love this world. And they love the beauty of whatever you've presented me with. And they love to think about it and move with it. But the idea that behind that there's oil and behind that there's fire, that's already like, well, you've lost me. Like, that's not what I'm into. Because, of course, what we're going to talk about is the fact that we do love wisdom. Of course we're philosophers. But we want to be holy philosophers, that where the wisdom takes us somewhere and it connects us back to a deeper reality. And then behind that, the source of all reality. So we'll look at okay, but right before we jump in here, just to say it outside and then it'll be easier to streamline through the Makoros. You guys did brachos? People, mm-hmm. Is that to some degree in brachos? So there's, if you dream about an olive, remember what you get if you dream about an olive? It's okay, this is not a mifchan.
Feels like it.
Sorry. Had to test this in the ninth pair.
At the end of the hardest, in the middle of
yeah,
the dark.
I was blasting through those, right. Yeah.
You're like, I just want to finish at that point. Right, but that's like Hanukkah. It's the dark at the end of the this and the that, and there's a little bit of light.
Right, so. It's not Rosh Hashiva for sure, because we remember that one. The chachman, the yelling chicken.
Yeah. Well, nope. I don't expect anybody here to remember. There's like literally three pages if you see this and that, if you see this and that, if you see this and that, if you see this. So if you see
some weird ones there too.
I remember some weird ones.
Yeah. Right?
If you see an olive in your dream, you get a shame tov. Shame tov Yotzilo.
Okay.
Right? And what is your name? Your name is how people relate to you out here in this world. Right? So again, an olive always is going to connect you out with Malchus, to the world out here. Whereas, if you dream about olive oil, Shem and Zayas, what do you get? Okay, not going to double test you on this. Ma'or Shel HaTorah, right? You get Ma'or HaTorah. You get to the light of what Torah is, which is like, right. The Shemin's always going to take me deeper than the olive itself, which you guys know, I don't remember if this is in Brachos, but if you eat an olive, yeah, it's on the list of things that are kasha l'shitcha, makes you forget things. Right? You're not supposed to eat olives on their own. Right? Shemen zayis is good for chachma. Olives are bad for chachma. They make you forget. Why do they make you forget? Again, it's a simen because you're only relating to the echitzonius.
Wow.
Right? You're just having an olive and you don't realize you're eating the olive, but the olive has fuel to give you fire. Right? Like you're missing the depth of what this thing is. This is Yavan, right? So all of Yavan is, right? What is Yavan? Yud, Vav, Nun, right? I see Chachma, I see the Yud of what I want. And all I care about is how does it relate down all the way in this world? It like translates to a Vav, it comes down a little bit, and then it pulls me all the way down into this reality.
It's kind of paradoxical in that it both represents Chachma, but it's the thing that causes you to lose it in and of itself. Meaning eating it alone, right? It on its own is representative of chacham, but eating it, you lose the chacham because it's you're lacking that which is behind it.
Right. Well, the zayas doesn't represent the chachma. The shemen does.
Okay.
Right. And so yavan is like eating the zayas. I want to eat the world for what it is, and I don't want to look beyond it. Right. I'm just like I'm going to think far enough as much as it relates yud, and then a vav is always a connecting. Right. So how does the yud vav connect to nun sofit? Everything down in this world. That's what matters to me. They didn't connect it back up. Like if you were a tzaddik and you were connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you would look at the same wisdom and figure out how it connects you back to God, right? If you add a tzaddik to Yavan, you get Tzion, right? Kimi Tzion Teitzei Torah, right? Tzaddik is Yisod, right? So when you're connected to something that's above Malchus, right? Yisod is the meter that's right above Malchus. When you're connecting above the world, so all of a sudden Chachma opens you up and that'll be the Shemen, right? But they're going to be the representation of getting it all wrong. So what we first want to do is now just prove that Hanukkah is really all about this battle over Chachma. And B'nai Saschar, the Rupshitzer, Maral, I mean, everybody goes to town on it, and to the degree that we can we can see this beautiful lush and we'll see it. So, yeah?
Just a quick question. Yeah. You're saying that the shemen is the chachma and the zayas is what contains the chachma.
Yes.
And that Yoman sees the zayas, but it doesn't recognize, it's just because it sees the whole world. I just want to consume it all. But it's getting the chachma, it's just not filtering out.
I want to think about an olive, but I'm not going to think about how it has a spiritual ramification.
Mm-hmm.
Like that the size of an olive will make a difference of whether or not I should make a bracha. Like there's no spiritual ramification to these things. Like I think of an olive and I'll learn chachma from an olive. Wow, when you plant something in the ground, it turns into a tree and that tree turns into... Like I love the chachma of the world.
Yeah.
Of the world. And not beyond the world, right? Yeah. So the zeist is always going to be a metaphor for what's on the outside. There's an outer layer to life. The shemen means there's an inner layer to life. And even the shemen, you have to know, goes one step deeper and can connect you to light, right? So that, so yes, shemen is chachma. And if we're going to go really deep, really fast, but just as like a side note to come back to later... And it's not even a side note, it's what we're going to look at right now. Everywhere you're going to see in Chazal, Shemen, and specifically Shemen Zayas, but Shemen is Chachma. That's like, you're going to see it everywhere. Everywhere you see Shemen, we're talking about Chachma. And then, if you look on the Parsha of the Menorah, I think it's in Tetzaveh, where is it Tetzaveh? It's in Truma, where he says it. The Rebbeinu B'chaye, it's in Truma, towards the end. In Truma, the... Rabbeinu Bechaya says that Shemen comes from the word Yitzhar, like we say, Tirosh v'Yitzhar, right? Which means wine and oil. Yitzhar comes from the word Sohar, which means light. When you relate to Shemen as the light itself, he says it means Keser, right? So it's the top.
Mm.
So normally we say Shemen means Chachma. The Rabbeinu Bechaya says sometimes when we call it Yitzhar, we're even relating higher to Chachma, which is Keser, like the connection to... the Ein Sof, connection to Hashem. And then the Zayas is all the way out here in the world of Malchus. It's like, it's the physical world, right? So, and the reason for that is this exact reason. Because depending on what aspect of the olive we're looking at, it represents something different in a spiritual way, which is already a Torahdika way of looking at life. The idea that the same thing, which from an olive perspective, it's Malchus, but if I look at it from Shemen, it's Chachma, and if I go all the way and see, well, really, the Shemen is just potential, or I say, that's Keser, right? That's really what it's all about. So that's a side point, but like we'll see that that's kind of the unfolding of this whole reality, which is, can we live in this world and not get stuck on the outer layer? And that's why Chachmas Yevanis is also called, synonymously throughout Chazal, Chachmas Chitzonis.
Mm.
Because they're only looking at the outer layer, right? Wow. So whereas Torah is going to be Chachmas Pnimius or Chachmas Elokis, we always want to go one step deeper in. That's what it's about.
Have I?
Yeah.
Do we have somewhere where it says eating olive oil leads to Chachma? Does the Brachos also say that, or that's also that's what we know that eating olives themselves creates forgetfulness? Does it say something specifically? I know there's yeah.
Okay, Va'al Kein. The first makor over here, Bnei Yisachar, Chanukah, Maimer Beis, right? We just want to prove this and make it really clear that this is what we're talking about, and then we'll plug it back into Chanukah, and then we'll live better lives. Okay, Hatorah Or, Al Kain, Na'aseh Hanes B'Shemen. Why did the miracle happen with oil, right? This is the Bnei Yisachar, one of the earliest of the Hasidim. Rav Gershenfeld likes to call him the Rishonim of Hasidim in terms of like you can mamish be medayik in his lashon as well. Remez l'chachma. Every time you see shemen, it's for chachma. Why? Because this is the battle. This is the battlefield of Chanukah, and this is the joy that we get to walk away with is, are we going to maintain our spiritual connection to chachma? Kamosha amru chazal, like it says in Menachos, right? This is mefurish in Menachos pehei amud beis. Kol makom sheshemen zayas matzui, every place you see olive oil, sham hachachma matzuya. That's where you're going to find chachma. So there's your mefurish gemara. Again, I think it's implicit in the gemara in Brachos also, where it says if you dream about shemen zayas, you get the ma'or ha-torah also. But this is explicitly chachma. V'lamdeu min ha-mikra, we learned it from a pasuk, v'yishlach yov tekua, Vayikach Misham Isha Chachma. It says Yoav sent out to Tekoa to get from there a woman of Chachma. Misham Daika, why did he go from there, from Tekoa? Ki Tekoa Alpha Leshemen, it was a place where they learned how to make oil. Mm-hmm. So oil's connected, and she's called an Isha Chachama. Okay, so number one is whenever you see Shemen, we're talking about Chachma. V'nasa ha-nes b'menorah. Why is the nes happening with the menorah? Gam kein rem is l'chachma. Right? Did you guys get here yet in Baba Basra? Harotze l'hachkim yadrim. If you want to get smart, you want to become a chacham, daven to the south. Why? U'menorah b'darim, because the menorah is in the south. So the menorah also represents chachma. So it's dafka with shemen, and it's dafka with the menorah. Hmm. Fine. And then he goes on. He goes on to another place over here, and he's going to say that. And the letter Aleph always represents Chachma also, and he continues to develop a thought. But the two main things I want to pull out of here, just as these are the easiest makoros that say the menorah is all about Chachma, the shemen is all about Chachma, and that's what we want. We want to have a deeper relationship with this thing called Chachma, which was under attack, right? Yavan was the Malchus that came to attack Chachma because they found something really powerful. They figured out how to grab the world and say, this is all we need. We can philosophize about physical reality and I don't need to go anywhere else. Obviously it takes an Albert Einstein come up with E equals MC squared, that you look at matter and you go, do you know that matter is energy, right? So, but it took thousands of years before we got there in science. For most of history, it's matter is matter, right? What you see is what you get. So no, B'nai Yisrael is telling us everything about the Chag is we want our relationship back to Chachma, and then let's just see this next piece, because it's a hemshech, really, of the same idea, going back into Shemen and back into Chachma. Where else do we use Shemen in the Torah? We use it in the menorah. We use it somewhere else. Very good. Shemen is used as mishchas kodesh. Right, it makes everything holy. Right? That's the purpose of the shemen. Either we're going to use it to get the light, right? That's like the chachma, or we're going to use it and say it's sanctified for something higher. It's not just physical. That's what shemen is used for. It's amazing. Right?
Wow.
Right. That's why, obviously.
It's so confusing otherwise. Why are we putting oil on people all the time?
Right, we're going to put it on the Kohen, we're going to put it on the Levi, we're going to put it on the Kings, we're going to put... Why are we doing that? We're saying because you're shaykh to a deeper reality, right? You're not just dealing with things.
It's interesting that the Goyim kept that in their malchus, meaning... In the
they Goyim's do that still?
They still do that, yeah. They, oh, well, wow. They did that meaning...
Anointing.
Yeah, anointing, with olive oil, though. Dafka, yeah.
Okay, must have stuck around.
Yeah.
For the skin.
Okay, so this is Rav Muttel Zilberstein. He's the Rupschitzer. He's a descendant of the Rupschitzer. He's alive now. He's mamish, a real tzaddik. And if he's in Eretz Yisrael again, which he hasn't been for the last couple of years because of Corona, I'd love to take you guys to meet him. He's just like a wild. Just like lives on another plane of existence.
Where does he actually live?
Yeah, he lives in somewhere in the Northeast, Brooklyn or someplace. Oh, wow. He has his kahila over there. But he does these... When he comes here, he does like a tish in Me'esharim, not far from the mirror, and like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people come, and they're just like, he's like a real rebbe, unbelievable. But he's extremely accessible, and he speaks English. He's American. You know what I mean, like, it's awesome. Anyway, I have a friend who's a very close Talmud of his, and he introduced me to his Torahs, and it's like, wow, Rav Moshe Weinberger. You guys know who Rav Moshe Weinberger is? He said. He holds him to be his Rebbe, and he says that he's the Tzadik Yisod Olam in our door. Like, he's big. He's a big, big, big person. He has a lot of, like, he said he hasn't seen Chidushim like that in Chassidus since Rab Tzadok. I think that's what he said. So, anyway, big person, just to give you a bit of a background as to who he is.
Yeshir Mamlein?
Say it again?
Yeshir Mamlein?
I don't know. They put out his Svarim, they put out his Maimarim, but not Shurim. I don't think you can find his. I don't know if they record his actual shem. So he says, "V'hare shemen mora al chachma kenoda." Right? He says kenoda means like we know that, right? Like I don't have to tell you. Everyone who's learned anything about shemen in Torah knows that we're talking about chachma at this point. De hashemen nikra shemen mishchas kodesh. Right? Now, why is that a raya? Why, when I say kodesh, is that a raya? Because you have to know, whenever we're talking about Kodesh, we're going that high, We always have to be connecting to Chachma, right? When we say that Kodesh means like a passionate connection, like connection to what? So there's something, there's the Chachma that connects us back to the Shoresh, connects us back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you're only there on the outside, right? So you're not going to be deeply connected all the way to your roots. So he says every time you see Chachma, Chachma means Kodesh, it means you're connecting to a deeper reality. V'chein hu bepashtus al pi Kabbalah, de Kodesh hu inyan Chachma, and he's like, of course, if you've learned any Kabbalah, every time you see Kodesh, you know we're speaking about Chachma. V'achein, and that's the reason, kol kedushas kli hamikdash, all the kedusha and the kelim of the mikdash, ba'ayidei shemen, because I'm connecting it up to this deeper reality. V'al derech zeh kol davar shehu begeder Kodesh, hainu mizyachis l'shemen l'inyan Chachma, and it's one small little piece out of a very long section over here, but I wanted us just to point us back to when we're thinking about the miracle of Hanukkah, we're thinking about Shemen, we're thinking about Chachma, and you have to know that means we're dealing with holiness. Yavan stood against the concept of holy, right? There's no such thing as holy. The world is profane be'etzem. The world is chol. It doesn't connect us to a deeper reality. There were, by the way, even in Greek philosophy, there are Greek gods. They believed in a spiritual realm. But the idea that they're having interplay over here, right? First of all, it's not monotheistic. Right? So they're missing the major vision that there's an achdus and an echad, even on a spiritual realm. Second of all, they understood that there's the gods in the heavens and the man on the earth, and never the twain shall meet, right? There's some here and there when there's like a major story about an individual, but the idea that there's a hashgacha, right, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is working with us, or there are things in this world that be'etzem have shaychus to a spiritual realm, that was totally out of the game for them. They didn't see the world that way. And therefore, the whole of the Chag has to be, what's going to connect me back to this deeper place? Is there holiness in my life? Is there a deeper spiritual wisdom in the world? Or are we kind of like alone in the universe and what you see is what you get? Is it just a zayas and then you're going to end up with choshech and shikha and missing life? We're going to go deeper. Yeah.
It just rubs me the wrong way when I see like, okay, well, now we're saying Kodesh is Chachma. It's like, why are you compressing two things? They're clearly two different ideas. Well, how can you just compress two things together and say this is this and... And we just make new drushes based on that.
Right. It's not a drusha so much as I'm trying to save us time and work by going there, but you're absolutely right to ask the question. Meaning, what you're asking is, why does Chachma mean Kodesh?
Right. And I get the kind of the connection is there about connecting on the level of mind. There has to be like that also, that not just a physical sort of, but to say it's the same thing and now we could just use them interchangeably, I don't know.
It's not that they're interchangeable. He's letting you know that when we're speaking about Chachma, we're dealing with Kedusha. That's what it means. Like, as soon as you go up into a higher reality, you can't just be down here and be talking about Kodesh. There's no such thing. You can't be in the world of Chol, because that's what is Shabbos? Shabbos?
Being Kodesh?
Kodesh. Shabbos is Shabbos Kodesh, right? Okay. Shabbos is Kodesh. The rest of the week is Chol, right? So we have to have a place where we elevate into a deeper reality, right? And when we're speaking about Chachma, which we didn't yet explain exactly what Chachma is, we're slowly going to develop it together, right? You have to know that now we're going to get to the precipice or some connection to a world of Kedusha, whereas before, when you're in the world of Chol, you can get lost in the world of Chol. You can miss it. You cannot be connected to something deeper. Chachma already tells me I'm connecting to something deeper. I'm not stuck on the outside. I'm not just going to care about who wins the election or who's the MVP or how much, you know, Starbucks costs today, right? Like that, like, you know, that's not the only thing that bothers me. I want to worry about, well, what's behind that and what's deeper and what does that mean for a cosmic reality? As soon as you do that, now you're touching in a world of Kedusha, which you weren't doing before.
Similarly, for example, Aristotle dealt with similar concept. Meaning, it wasn't that a table. He believed that there was an organization in the constellation, so to speak, that had hashpa in a certain sense. It wasn't that every like licked into everything was kedusha, but that there was an interplay. Meaning, it wasn't that everything was as it was. Meaning, so I don't know maybe what the chiluk is. Again, I'm awesome now.
No, and we're gonna get there. Yeah. We're gonna get there. But this is gonna be the zayas, the shemen, and the or. But yes, we're gonna get there because, again, there's Greek philosophy, and by the way, there were many, many philosophers, right? Like there were so many different places where you could draw from, and they were not all the same.
A lot of shitas.
There were a lot of shitas in what was going on there. So I would say, at least for the sake of how we look at the lens through Torah, how all of the Chachamim looked at Chachmas Yavan, is, at least the way that I understand it, is Chachmas Yavan to them meant what we're describing. It doesn't mean that you're not going to find certain philosophers that were also in alignment with certain concepts, with even within what we have to say. Right. I didn't bring it, but there's a piece in Rav Dessler where he speaks about they were mamash nitzotos of Kedusha in Yavan that we needed to get. We learned how to think through Yavan. The Rambam says that like he owes his whole thought process to Aristotle. So we need it. But it doesn't mean it was the whole picture, which again, is that's always going to be the problem, is there was a, and he said it himself, right? Aristotle said, if I don't understand it, it's not true. That's a problem. Right? I mean, I don't know if there's a bigger guy other than that. Right? Like, if I don't understand it, it's not true. Thank God you're smart. You could fit a lot of truth in that, but there's more. Chachma is always, I have to go beyond myself. Like if you look throughout the Svarim, what you're going to find is that to get to the Madrega of Chachma, you have to be an Anav. You can't get to Chachma without Anava, because you have to be Machni yourself. The way that the Gra explains Chachma, again, it's metaphorical for everything, but he says Chachma is Mashekibel Mirabo. What I received from my Rebbe, that's Chachma. Meaning, the given, the axiom as presented. You can only get that if you're in a nanav to be makabel, right? Bina is what I do with that, right? So if I get two pieces of information, I can build something, bina, bone, I can build it together and get something new. But Chachma means I have to put down my ego and receive from somewhere. That's metaphorically what Chachma is. And of course, on a bigger level, what that means is when we pull down our gaiva and make ourselves a clean kibbutz, it's not just mashakibo me rabo, mashakibo me Hashem, right? That there's nevua, right? You can be makabel something that you didn't come up with. It came to you, right? You were given a download. You were given a transmission, milamala, right? That's chachma. You can only do that if you're an open vessel to receive such a thing and you're not filled with yourself. So that's where we're going.
Is that why, Rabbi, we demand philosophical understandings of truth in order to merit certain things that we would have otherwise thought would have only been rewarded for moral achievements? Meaning, like, understand, like, the Rambam is very big on la, like, certain inyane deos of understanding Hashem, achdus, not being an apikoros, essentially. How could you demand somebody not be, how do you demand somebody to believe in God that were judged like the sentiments of Sinei Noach? We would have thought they should all be moral. But really, they are moral, like the Rav Elchanan. Essentially saying, Kovashurim, that it's all, in essence, a bad midah. How can it be a bad midah? Because it's usually coming from a lack of anava, we're saying.
That's right. Meaning, because you're not going to really get the deeper idea if you don't have the kli to be makabah the idea. This is, I mean, the altar spoke about it throughout the whole Orat Safon, but there's one piece where he says it super explicitly, where you can think you know everything, but if I see you have bad midahs, I know you know nothing. Right? That's big. Like his whole vision is your midos tell me what you actually know. You may know an idea just intellectually or just philosophically, but you don't know it. You don't actually know what it means. It's kind of like math. Like, it just stays mathematical for you. Which, I mean, and the Greeks were huge on that. Math is a very important thing. We love math. The problem with math is that it's sterile and cold and doesn't have to change you. Right? In order for it to become knowledge, real knowing, you have to empty yourself out to bring it from up here to down here. And it's also true to get from there to over here. Meaning the deeper the kli is, the more you can draw it down into yourself. If that makes sense. Okay. And Avi, we're going to come back to Kodesh, so don't worry. I'm not going to disappear on you. Okay, let's look at the Maharal over here. And he says, Vida, Ode. I'll tell you something deep. Ki hayivanim hayu metamen esahechel. Right? When you look in the Gemara, it says, what did they do? They were metame, the shmanim shebehechel. Right? We sing it in Yevanim Nikvitzula, in Ma'asur, right? The timu kol shmanim, right? They were metame all the shmanim shebehechel. The hechel is in the Beis Hamikdash, right before the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's the hechel that you would walk through. Shekach koach Yavan. This is the power of Yavan Befrat. Specifically, L'tamos ha'hechal yoter mikola umus. They had the power to bring Tuma to the Heichal. What is the Heichal? So his metaphor is going to be the Heichal is the mind, right? The physical world that holds space. The Shemen is the information in your mind. And they were metame that. They were able to be metame, the Shemen Shebeheichal. They were able to get to our deos. They were changing the way we saw the world. That's the metaphor. If they were metame, the Shemen Shebeheichal. What is the Heichal? It's more than just your mind. He's going to say it's the world of Malchus. The whole physical world. We were looking at the physical world and we saw, wow, everything is so special. Hashem runs the world. They come along and say, no, it doesn't. And the world is special for the world's sake. And that's it. That's Metamei or Shemen. Let's just go through the piece and then we'll do the question. And he says, and that's why, by the way, Heichal is Gematria. Almost.
65.
65, right? What else is 65? Do we know?
It's going to be
Chachmas.
No.
Mind.
Almost.
Right?
No.
Almost. 75. Okay, it's Shem Adnas. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, right? Is Gematria 65, which that's always the world of Malchus. That's what we say. Ado is what we say in this world, right? Even though the Ksiv is Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's the deeper spiritual side. They said, well, what can I see, hear, taste, touch, five senses? Right? That's what they're going to be metame. They can reach this world, and they have a koach, mamish, to take this world and make it tame. And be, everything has to be rational. If it's not rational, I don't want to hear it. Now, that's really helpful because it helps us develop in science and technology and all these other things. The problem is it can totally cut you off from spiritual. Right?
So, one thing I have with it is that like, for example, like, if God created the universe and He created everything, mm-hmm. right? And He wants us to use our brains to understand everything. Mm-hmm. So, like, He likes math. And l'chora, He thinks math, maybe according to this, math is kodesh even. Math is be'etzem kodesh.
Everything.
We can metame.
If you get to it. And you can be metame the way you see everything in this
world. We don't, like, for example, like, why don't I believe in Islam? Because I think it's irrational to believe in Islam, for whatever reasons may be. So, we don't want to believe in irrational things either.
Right, no, that you want rational. The problem is only rational. If I say only rational...
That sounds like to the exclusion
Let me ask you, did God give the Torah on Har Sinai?
Vada.
Huh?
Vada.
Totally irrational.
No, I'm saying...
Totally irrational, what? Like,
I mean, the essential event, or that there could be proof to rationally believe...
The essential event. It's right. It's not a rational thing that happened. That's a crazy miracle. Uh-huh. That's a nace. It's out. The rational is teva. Mm-hmm. Mathematics are teva. They're rules. They're rules to math, and that's how they work.
Wait, but I have rational means to get to irrational beliefs.
That's already Torah.
Oh, okay.
Right? That's meaning I can get to an irrational place or a super rational place. I can get to a certain depth through the world. Meaning teva's good. We like teva. Not here to break teva. Mm-hmm. Just here to tell you that it doesn't end at teva. In fact, it only just begins. And we want to get deeper than Teva, right? Don't worry, he's going to come back to
Chinuch. We should want rational means. Meaning, like, we should want irrational means to get to rational places.
We're not advocating for irrational means. I'm not saying, what do they call it?
Emuna Pshuta.
Yeah, but I'm not, in English, what's it, like, faith?
Blind faith.
Blind faith. I'm not saying blind faith, right? This is not blind faith. It's saying some faith, right? There was no faith. You hear the difference?
Yeah, right.
We like rational. There's got to be more.
Yeah. If we were connected so high up, how is it that, meaning we had the deeper flow all the way, so why is it that something that's seemingly blunted or stunted or lacking, how could that have such a strong influence? Meaning if you were so connected, should you say, well, you're clearly missing it, right? Meaning it's easy for us to sit here and say, right, we've said, we've learned that there's more than just a cup behind it, right? And if someone knocked on the door now and tried to convince you in intelligent way that was just a cup, you wouldn't believe it.
We'd all laugh.
Right.
But we're 2,000 years later.
All the more so, no? Meaning, if their connection was strong, right, they saw the flow, they saw the Kesser of the Malchus all the way through more clearly than we did, right? They had the base of Megdash. So how is it that sort of philosophy had the ability to integrate its way into Klal Yisrael in a way, in a impactful way?
Right, but problem was exactly the opposite, was they were already, we're dealing with Second Temple, they weren't so connected, we were having our problems in Emunah, and this was a test. And it was the first time being introduced. You know, whenever something's new, gotta check it out. Like, what is that? And it was the first time beliefs were being questioned in such a very clear way. Like, they made sense. Meaning, for all intents and purposes, they're right. Chachma Silvan would be right. I mean, it's not that they didn't understand something, it's that they understood so much.
Right.
So it tested the Samuna. It tested everything that we had known so clearly, and at the time it was more blind faith. Right, if you will, which is great, because if you have the Emunah, you still get the connection. This tested the Emunah in a major, major way.
Right. But if we're saying that it's the rational that leads to the super rational, so shouldn't seeing the rational just, you could say, okay, so that's just the Hechatemsa. Meaning, why would it be that it's so strong that it would share people from going in the right direction?
Again, we're starting on the other side, but the answer is Richard Dawkins. Meaning, he's the answer to your question. Because he's all his books are titled something to the effect of like "There's No God," right? Those are all the books, and he's extremely popular. And you would say, but wait a second, for all of history, like we knew that there was a God, right? And it's like one guy shows up, and he's like, by the way, there's not, and everyone's like, oh, I guess not, right? With a lot of logical reasons behind it. I mean, he's not coming from nowhere. I mean, he's a brilliant human being. He's very articulate. He has a lot to say, and he's absolutely Rasha Sheker Shakra. No, I'm sorry. Like, that's, like, it's to run around screaming, there is no God, it's like, that's unbelievable, and yet, major following. So that's the answer. The answer is that you can be very compelling, especially if you yourself don't have that Emunah. Not everybody has that Emunah. And they themselves were kind of on this place that was teetering at the time, and in comes this influx of new wisdom, which made sense, was smart, and
justified their behavior.
Right, exactly. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, wait a second, it's just this world? I don't have to think of an Olam Haba. I don't have to think of, a spiritual impact of what this is going to be. I don't yet know of such a Mida Keneged Mida concept on a spiritual level, at least. Right. Cause and effect, they had. Cause and effect on a spiritual level, like, who says? So that's what he's saying. So Heichal Mikol Um. Okay, but Simon. Here's a Simon for this. Simon LeDavar Heichal Ola B'Misparo Samech He, right? V'Yavin Misparo Samech Vav, right? Yavin's Gematria 66. Meaning Lahoros, that is to teach us as a Simon Kieshlo Koach Gover Ala Heichal. They had power to overcome the physical world, right? And they could take it Umetame as a Heichal. They had more Koach than the Heichal. That's a Simon. They were metame all the shemen in the heichal. V'davka shmanim. Why? Because what does shemen mean? Chachma. Ki hashemen shemimenu haor. Right. That's where we get light. We get enlightenment from there. Yesh lo koach yoter. It has a. It's very powerful. B'mashem imenu haor. Shemen is extremely powerful. V'raya lezeh shebeshemen magdishin u'moshchin hakol v'hu ikar hakedusha. Again, the Maharal supporting everything we said before. The Yavan had conquered the physical world, and they made impure all of the oil. There was only one pach, one jug left, which had the seal of the Kohen Gadol on it. Why is that important? Because what the Kohanim are going to represent something even deeper. They might have been able to be metamin ar chachma, but the one place they can't go to is lifnai v'lifnim. You've heard of the concept of the pintaliyid, right? There's like this deep, deep place inside of you. So the Kohen represents the part of us that can go all the way in to the deepest place inside of you, and that Yavan can't touch. Shehu yoser mina heichel. It's deeper than the physical world. Asher sam shalto yavanim, and the yavanim only had a shlita over there. Ubishvil Maila Zos, it's because of this Maila that Kohanim serve at the deepest part of the Beis Mikdash. Lohayu Lecholim Lishlo Yavan Baoso Pach Katan. It's the small little Pach. Shehu Bechosma, which had the signet of the Kohen Gadol. Ubehester Shel Kohen Gadol, it was something hidden. Vihine Mispar Kohen. Kohen, who Mispar Heichel, is the same Gematria as Heichel. But Vaod Nishar Yud, but there's an extra Yud in Kohen. The deeper right Yud is always going to be Chachma. Shelo Shaltu Bo Yevanim, because he had Kodesh Kedashim. They might be able to get the Shemen Shebeheichal, but they can't get to the Kodesh HaKedashim, the deepest wisdom, V'nikra Zeh Yud Ketana. Wow. Right? That's called the small Yud. That's why it was a Pach Katan. Pach Katan is going to represent the Yud. Right? The Yud is this deeper wisdom, a deeper Kedusha that the Kohen Gadol had Shaychas to. And it was, in simple language, it's when we allow ourselves to go back in and have that Emunah and say, wait a second, hold on. There is more. There's more that there's, you're right, you may be mitame how I see Kodesh, but there's Kodesh Kedashim, and I have to go all the way in to find that, and that's how we're going to be gover back over Yavon.
Wow.
Okay, and for the sake, I mean, he explains why 10 dafka, but for the sake of time, we'll stop here in the Maharal. So, fine. That is his vision of why Shemen, why Or, they're trying to metame the way we see the world. Again, Chachma is not just information, right? But it's our perspective, right? Ultimately, it becomes the lens. What you put in your mind becomes the lens through which you see the world. That's what they're trying to metame. That your lens, you see a different world. You're not going to see a deep reality. You're not going to be connected to source. Yeah. Is that a question?
No, I'm just amazed.
Okay. Okay, I want to see these sources, but I'm also sensitive for time. So how are we doing? I know that we're now in.
We have half an hour.
We could do a part two, really, if you, or is that not...
I'm open to do a part two maybe sometime next week if you want to.
But we only have one chair. It's like in 4 hours, right?
So we could do a part two at some point next week if that's okay, and then as opposed to rushing.
I think next week we don't have anything going on this slot on Friday, so if Rebbe would like to go again.
Great, good. So let's take the next half an hour, and then if you want, we can do a part two.
Definitely want.
Fine. Is too good. We need more time. Okay, so then let's go here. Let's do this piece in Rav Matl, where he's just going to speak it out for us very beautifully. So if that's true, how does this impact what Yavon was doing and how it relates back to us? So he says, Ubekach, Mevuor Gamkein, Inyan Hapach Shemen Tahor. What's this idea of this pure oil that was left over, Shematsu b'Chanukah, that they found on Chanukah?
So Pach is pure?
Pach is the jug.
Oh, right, sorry.
Dehine, Hayavanim Ratsu, the Greeks wanted, Lahafrid es Chachma Satora Meshorsha. They wanted to separate Chachma Satora from its Shoresh. Lahafrid es Kol HaChachma, Sheba Bara Hashem es Olam. They wanted to separate all of the wisdom that God put in the world from its godly source. They wanted to say, yes, there's wisdom, but who says it's connected to a godly source? I want to disconnect it from its energy, from its life source. This is what it means, right? Like we saw in the Maharal, the were metame, all of the shmanim in the Hegel, which means they were metame, they were cutting us off from our spiritual roots in terms of our vision. Dekol inyan tuma, nimshach me'inei ave avos tuma, because what is all tuma comes from the father of fathers of tuma. What's the ave avos tuma? Mace. Shezeu inyan tumas mace, right? What is mace? Hare mace, hainu she'en lo chiyus, right? So when it says they were metame the shmanim, they were taking out the chiyus of our chachma. They were taking out any spiritual energy that we had. Ukemokein, kol davar shemenatkim oso meshorish ein lochios. That's true for everything. Every time you disconnect something from its root, from its source, so it loses its energy. Haoker ilan meshorisho. If you unplug, if you uproot a tree from its source, shuv ein lochayim. It's not going to have chayim, right? Which of course chayim is gematria chacham, right? Hachayim is chachma, right? Because the pasuk says, "Chachma techaye ba'aleh." Chachma is always what brings chiyus to something. Real chachma has chayim to it, but if you uproot it from its source, so it loses its chayim, you're losing your real connection to chachma. Derech ze kol inyan tuma. That's what tuma is. Hu his natkut min hashorish. It's a disconnection from the root, from the source. V'zeu inyan mashetimu kol hashmanim. That's what it means that they were metame the shemen. Asher shemen mora al chachma, like we've said 1,000 times. Sheefridu es a chachma mishorish. They disconnected the chachma from its root. Ula umat ze, but in contrast, hamidabek davar l'shorsho. What happens when you connect something to its root? You're giving it new energy. If you can find a way to connect something back to its root, you give it chayim. Torah nikras eitz chayim. That's what the Torah is. The Torah is, I see there's beauty in the world, right? Yavan comes from Yafes. I see there's beauty in the world. Yafa is, I see there's Malchus. But I have to know that it's Yud Po. Yud, wisdom, Po, here in this world. That's what makes something beautiful, right? I want that to happen, but they were more interested in the Po, right? So if you're only interested in here, but we want to say, well, the Yud must be connected to something, right? Everything's got to go all the way back, and that's what makes something gorgeous. Because you've connected it to its hidden roots. Beshorish pnimius haTorah. You have to know that even in Torah has layers, right? There's the outer layers of Torah, and then there's inner layers of Torah. But what's the purpose of learning the outer and the inner layer of Torah?
To connect them?
Right, to make it all one. Make it, give it life, to give the chitzonis life.
Right, so that's why you learn the inner, and then now that it all has life, what was the point of learning all that?
To give you life. Connect you back to the source.
Good. To connect you back to the source. Right. Everything. We connect Torah to its deepest place and then say, and where did all that come from? When you learn Torah the right way, it's supposed to connect you back to Hashem. Meaning if Torah doesn't lead you back to God, we've missed Torah altogether. This is the reason why the second base of Mikdash was destroyed. Because they were saying, right, this is the famous Gemara from the Pesukim in Yirmiyah that says, why was the second base of Mikdash destroyed? Because they didn't say Birkas HaTorah. Mm. So? Who cares?
And if it's Peter Trout, it's Torah. You can make Torah into an academic, right.
That's right.
Affair.
Yes.
And then we got to put a bracha on it.
But what does the bracha do? What does the bracha tell me?
Connects to the source.
Right. It's Hanose in a Torah. That's the bracha. It's they fell in love with Torah and out of love with God. It was a Greek problem.
Mm. Didn't God say that was an okay etza?
No. He says if you've lost it, so then the Maor Sheva Torah will connect you back to me. But it has to connect you back to me, right? Deep sugya, Shavuos Torah, not for right now. It's based on the Nefesh HaChaim. Shechiyus zu shel sodas haTorah. If you connect to the sod of Torah, mashpia chiyus l'kol haTorah. Because when you connect to the sod of Torah, that's going to be mashpia on all of pshat. And it's the same thing for all of us. Me'at hine b'chanukah, matzu pach shemen Torah. On Chanukah, we found this jug of pure oil. Hainu asher matzu bo shemen. Hadavuk l'shosho. What that means that they found a jug of pure oil with the sign of the Kohen Gadol means they found oil that was connected to its shoresh, right? They found a place that was still connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. T'chanukah zochim l'koach zeh shel dveikus b'shoresh. That's going to be what the schus we're looking for in Chanukah is. Can we be connected to our spiritual source even when things don't look that way? Like what's amazing about the Nes of Chanukah is I don't know what the first day was when they lit the first day of the candles, but let's say they lit them on a Sunday. If you walked into the base of Mikdash on Wednesday and saw the menorah lit, were you looking at a miracle?
No.
You lit it on Sunday and it's now been lit for 4 days. Are you looking at a miracle?
Oh, you see just a stout person walking.
Yeah, well, yeah. Somebody.
He was there Sunday also.
No, someone who wasn't there on Sunday walks into the base of Mikdash on Wednesday and sees the candle lit. Is he looking at a miracle?
No.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know. So, is he looking at a miracle?
Yes.
Yes. Does he think he's looking at a miracle?
No.
No. Welcome to all of Chanukah. That's what it's all about. Is the whole world looks at the world and says, this isn't a miracle. I can rationalize this. I can make sense out of this. It's like, that's only because you're starting from the Big Bang. But what if you were there from the beginning, if you know where this is all coming from, if you saw the whole thing, you'd be like, every day is a miracle. The whole thing doesn't make sense. Right? That's like the deepest vort is the whole world is Wednesday. We're born into the base of Mikdash when the candle's lit, and we're like, that makes sense. No, it doesn't. The whole thing's a miracle. Be'etzim. Right? See, but for that, you have to be connected to the shoresh. You have to go to the beginning. You have to, where did this all come from? Where is it all? Once you're connected there, it's like, wow, I can appreciate every moment that it's still lit. It's mamash a miracle. Right? It's unbelievable.
The whole world is on Wednesday.
The whole world is on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's good. Baruch Hashem. Okay. Now let's just take us home a little bit more over here. I know. I'm like, I bite off more than I can chew. There's so much. I'm like, God, it's not fair. Hashem should help us. Okay, I know Shabbos soon. But Shabbos now. If you're learning this, it's Shabbos now.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, let's look at the Derech Mitzvah Secha over here. Derech Mitzvah Secha is the Tzemach Tzedek. Oh. He's the third Lubavitcher Rebbe. This is one of the most beautiful Sfarim. It is so gorgeous, and he basically goes through, not all the mitzvahs, but many, many, many mitzvahs, and just explains them, al pi Kabbalah and Chassidus, of like, what are they all about? And Rav Aaron Lapiansky, like he quotes from here like all the time. Like it's just like an amazing sefer, and I'm just moved. You just every time you pick it up, there's like light coming off the pages. Oh my gosh! And you're the Balatanya's grandson. Like imagine what your grandfather was. Unbelievable. Okay, v'zeh haynu.
Day times the price.
V'zeh haynu inyan. Sorry, at the end of the first line, I made a little dot under it, but it says the last three words v'zeh.
The first paragraph runs one into the other.
This is what the Yavanim wanted. Like we're going to say in Alanisim, which of course I'm going to say it now. The word that comes up the most in Alanisim and Haneros Halalu. I have to give you something that's directly connected to that. Huh? Yeah, it comes up often. Good. There's another word that comes up more.
Uh-huh. This is your song keeps playing in my head.
Yeah. It's okay. But this is like, once you hear this, then you're going to realize it's like everywhere you go on Hanukkah, you're going to hear this over and over and over again. You're like, wow, I didn't realize. Just sing the song. Sing Alanisim. Alanisim. Al. That's everything. Al. Right? This is like, it becomes the heart of the holiday. It's in all the songs. We're like, it's all this and it's all that and it's all this and it's all that. And what is Al? Al means to go up. Right? It means we're not stuck here. We're not going to be down here in this world. Right? We're going to go up. Ayin means la'ayin, iyun. We're going to think deeply. Lamed, lomed. We're going to learn about. We don't want to be stuck out. We want to go up. We want to be b'nei aliyah, right? And so ayin lamed, ayin lomed. We're going to go deeper, which of course, ayin is 70. And I'm going to look at the whole physical world. And then lomed, lamed is 30, those top three layers, which are above reality. And that's the whole 10. I want to go up. I want to go all. I don't want to be stuck down in this world. That's exactly what they wanted to do. Bakshu hashkicham torasecha. They wanted to disconnect us from the ore of going up. They wanted to keep us down here. Lefi, why? Shenispashta az chachmas yavanis shehu a philosophia. Right? The at the time, what became very powerful was this new way of looking at the world called philosophy. It wanted to overpower and conquer a deeper wisdom, which was a wisdom that's received from a godly source. And its foundations were given over to us, passed down, from the infinite, Ayde Moshe, through Moshe, Bechir Hashem, who was chosen by Hashem. V'zeu inyan maimer rezal. That's what it means in the Chazal. Shetimu kol hashmanim shebehechal. They were metame all the shemen in the hechal. Sherotza lomar, meaning hashpa'as hachachma haba'a behasaga. The flow of wisdom that came through this insight, eleinu, that came to us. Shezeso nekuda behechal ekiyadua. They were trying to be metame, and they were metame all of the shemen in the hechal, the wisdom that we were receiving. V'hu masha ha-philosophim lo ya'aminu, that's why philosophers did not believe davar anything ela yedu masha yedu, except for what they knew. Yedu masha yedu, we know what we know, I don't need to come on to emuna. Al pi seichel ha-enoshi, that I know through my own mind. Kamo mitzias Hashem v'achduso, which I think is amazing that he says this. He's like, it's pashut that they would believe in God, right? And that God would be one. Like that, anybody can come to. Even that's rational. V'hayosu kadmon v'nitzchi, and that God is eternal. Bavur shezeh davar she'iyef shar laham in b'chilub chas v'shalom. It's impossible that you wouldn't believe that, right? Nobody would go so far to say that there is no God. You could tell this was written a couple hundred years ago.
It's like in the 21st century.
Right? Mifas seichel ha'enoshi ha'musak b'ra'iyas ha'ayin. Right? Your eyes could already see. All you have to do is look out in the world and you'll see. Like, look at the world. Of course there's a God. Like, that one's pashut. Ki mi b'sari echazeh elokah. I can look at my own flesh and I already see godliness. Ava mashalo yed'uhu. But anything they couldn't know, kachashu, they denied. Vayomru, and they said, lo hu, it's not true. Ulechein yachishu al ha'hashkacha. They said, there's no such thing as a shkacha pratis. This idea that there are many miracles happening in your life, meaningful coincidences, synchronicities that are taking place for you. The fact that there's hashkacha, not true. Babur Eza Taina Chalusha, if I had any weak reasoning to prove to you that it wouldn't be true, I'd rely on that. Ashu Yikshalahem, because it was hard for them. Veikashu Kol Mitzvah Hashem. That's for the same reason. They said there's no such thing as Mitzvah Hashem. Hashem doesn't care about you. Hashem doesn't care what you do. Hashem doesn't care what you eat. Hashem doesn't care how you spend your Motzi Shabbos. Vayom Rumalo Im Yochal Basar B'Chalav. Who cares if you eat meat and milk? V'ki Agavna and all these chukim. That's irrelevant. Lo Kain Hishrishanu HaKabbalah HaAmitis. That's not true when we... Lo Kain Ha... I can't see if that's a shin or a pei. Basically, I think it's Hishrishanu. That not true how we're rooted, HaKabbalah HaAmitis, in the true Kabbalah LaHa'min BaHashem, that we believe in Hashem and His Hashgacha, we mitzvosav, and in the mitzvos, Ki Hu L'mala Mala Mibachinas Chachma, that goes even higher, it goes to a deeper Chachma, V'Hasaga, V'Leis Machshava Tfisa Be, right? You have to go up to a place where your mind can't be masig, you're connected to the roots, connected to the Shoresh, right? Like we said before. Klal afilu chachma ila'a, even this higher wisdom. V'kasha yachpot Hashem ba'ada o b'yachid yodiyu b'nevua. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to give to be'eda to a group or b'yachid or to an individual, he can give over nevua. Right, the idea that there's prophecy also, like Chachmas Yavan says, what do you mean prophecy? You don't just like get a download and Hashem shows you a vision of the future. Like, if you can prove it to me, great. If you can't prove it to me, like, why should I trust you that you say tomorrow it's going to rain? So if you did it enough times, maybe there'll be some machane. But like, nevuah goes out the window. Shehila mala min aseichel. It's too high. Gilui elokuso yisbaruch. It's a revelation of God. V'tachlis achachma hi ha'emuna b'fnos haTorah. The purpose or the end goal of Chachma is to come to a higher level of Emuna. Yes, we want rational, but does that take us back up to our Shoresh, which is something you can't see? You'll never be able to see it with your eyes or understand it with your mind. You have to reach from where you can get to something that goes beyond. It's reaching to Hashem. And Hashem is always going to be built in Musar, unintelligible. It is beyond. We can talk around it and about it. It's like how we talk about Das, where I can give you a lot of information and I can even give you some understanding. But to know it is like, it's a hargasha, but I can't give that over. I cannot explain that to another person. Your relationship with God is a relationship. It's not something that can be shared. It's just internal. And that was the Nes of Chanukah, b'his gabrus ha-chachma ha-elokis ala-chachma yavanis. That chachmas elokis beat out chachmas yavanis. She philosophia, canal v'shorish neizel lamala huay de tesefes ora chachma ila, and then he goes on and he says that's why what we received as the gift mida keneged mida for being moser nefesh for Torah and being moser nefesh for a deeper wisdom is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us more ore and more connection to that wisdom, which is going to last us throughout the Doros. Again, this is the final holiday before Gullus. Fine, yeah.
I'm getting from here that Chachma is essentially, in its deepest and most appropriate usage, meant to connect you to the source.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just comparing that to, I mean, I'm sure it's going to end up being both in some way, but like the Gemara Brachos and David Zion says, Tachlis Chachma is Tshuva Meisim Tovim Meisim Lo Idra Midrash Shuva Ikri. Oh, wow. I really didn't see that.
We need more time.
That's actually wild. I really didn't see that. And then, like that Midrash Shuva Ikri, it's the Meisa. So I thought it's also, I guess it's like, goes in both directions. I thought it's very much Chachma is meant to be used here.
Good.
Okay.
Good. I don't know what you guys want to do. Yes, that's the next Mokor.
I really...
Huh?
Okay. Is it a transition point into that?
This Gemara really takes us to this whole next page. That's really what it is. And then... we end up over here. Look, of course, I could save you all the drama. We don't have to go through the Imam Makomos, and I could just tell you like the Devar Torah. This is what it is.
We'll sit here. We'll sit up, and then we'll come down next week.
Yeah.
Quick question. I'd just like you to speak it out. I think I could probably make something up, but I was reading the Revolvi, and he was basically saying that the whole Yesod of Hanukkah, the Mesiris Nefesh. So I was curious how Mesiris Nefesh connects to this idea of being connected to Source.
So, okay, so for that we have to go to all the Arizals and all the Zohars and all the everything, which if you open up anything outside of what I put in front of you, normally when you look at Hanukkah, what you're going to see all over the place is Hanukkah is about Hod. I don't know if you've seen this, but Hod, that Midah, whatever Hod is, right? It's too much for right now to go into, but Hod is the Midah of Hanukkah. That's what we see all throughout the Svarim HaKadoshim. Hod, like there were yamim, they were kavu yamim lahodosu lahalal. Like that's what the days are about. So simply, hod means you appreciate something. You appreciate the light of something. Right? Like I look at Moshe and I go, wow, you see this Tzalem Elokim? You see this amazing person. It just like you look and you appreciate that. Right? Like we say in Haneiros Halalu, I'm not here to be mishtamish b'hem elalir osam b'vad. I just want to see and appreciate the beauty that's there. When I do that, I connect to the depth of who another person is. And in other words, I start to value that. Right? Only beauty, whereas Yavan beauty was an end, we use beauty as a means to say this must be important. Like I should connect to whatever this is. Beauty is good. I want to go into beauty. So the beauty allows me to look into something and then develop a value for that. Mesiras Nefesh is the expression of whether or not that first part ever happened. Do you value, do you see the beauty and value in whatever it is that you only fight for things that you're connected to at the Shoresh? So if I don't see the beauty of Torah, I'm not going to fight for it. So when he says the whole thing's about Mesiras Nefesh, that's like going to be the final pole yotze. That's like, that's going to be the test. Is it really valuable to you? Do you really connect to the Chachma, to the Shoresh of what this is? Do you really understand and feel like there's value to this thing? If you do, you will put your money where your mouth is, right? And you're going to go for it. Your Mesiras Nefesh is always going to be parallel to your level of Emunah and value of whatever it is you're talking about. The Chaya Adam said what he found during a lot of the pogroms were the people who were more intellectual and philosophical in nature were not ready to be Moser Nefesh Al Pi Kiddush Hashem because they were too intellectualized and thinking, and people who were like Mamish Emunah based, they'd give up their life in a moment for Torah. Because their whole thing was just, I have Emunah and Torah is valuable to me, and that's it. And like, that's my highest value. As opposed to the Yavan orientation often gets us stuck down here. And we get stuck in thoughts and concepts. Thoughts and concepts aren't the high level, right? We're less connected to Shoresh if we just get stuck down here, which is our avoda, right? Our avoda is to take Torah and to go deeper, right? So that is, when I was by Rav Asher in the mirror, so every year on Hanukkah, he would say over the same vort, and it was always this vort of Mesiras Nefesh. He was like, it's Hanukkah, Adarabba. People take off on Hanukkah. He adds, I think, 15 minutes every day to a shir. Every day during Hanukkah, he gives a longer shir to Afka. Why? It's Hanukkah. Like, what is Hanukkah? It's not take time off, it's put time on, right? Do you really value this thing? And you would only value it if you really knew what this was. Were you connected to the Nosein Torah? Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you a present, right? The Ein Sof, right? The infinite went like this and said, it's a little bit finite, and then went all the way form and said, here, Mike, take that. And you're like, you're not going to appreciate what that is? Like, you have to appreciate it. So Mesiras Nefesh is the
reaction,
the representation of this truth. That if this is true for you, I can see that by where you put your money, where you put your mouth, where you put your action, right? Is that reflected in life? So that's what it is, yeah.
This is not a concept I understand at all, and I'm probably misquoting it, but Rav Chur, one time, going back to the whole thing, mentioned about how, he said, don't ask me a question because I'm not going to explain it, so Rav can explain how Hanukkah is Rachel moving from Netzach to Yaakov and Hod, where's the flip, I don't remember. It was like the
moving, candles. Yeah.
What's like the connection to that? I mean, what is that concept? I mean, he wouldn't touch it. He like referenced it, but he wouldn't touch it.
Yeah, I think it's too much for certainly for a one foot. We can give a shir on it. I mean, very often we give a shir on Hod. I think for me this year that it came out clear that this nakuda of Chachma is extremely important because that's what the Hod is supposed to be, right? That Hod means what? Splendor? How do they translate Hod? Hod, how do, like, beauty. It's a type of beauty.
I just use your Sukkot's book for all my definitions of Seiros.
Yeah, I think Hod is translated as some form of glow, like a glowing light, when something glows. And when do things glow?
Inner essence?
Yes, for sure. But normally when you think glow, you think...
light?
You're thinking of the light. But when something is glowing, come on, guys.
Something's working within it to me.
When do things glow?
At night?
Yes, things glow in the dark. Right? That's how we think. Right? But of course, they also glow in the light. Right? But that's the power of a glow is it's not the sun. When I say glow, I mean like it's not shining, but it's glowing. And I can normally only tell if it's dark outside. Right? There is light and it's powerful, but it's pretty high up there. But you can see it in the person. The glow that comes to a person is because he's connected to something very, very deep. So in the darkness, like if you're in a world full of people who are like really cynical, and then you meet somebody positive, they glow. Because they're connected to something real, right? So they're connected to Chachma. And that's the pasuk that says, Chachmas Adam ta'ir panav. The Chachma of a person, what they're connected to, it makes their face shine. It makes their face be or, be light. So...
it's holding back, I thought. Hod is holding back. How if glowing sounds like I'm letting out. Right. Chachma sounds like it's going out. But we've defined, I thought Hod is I'm constraining myself in order for you to exist. How is that?
We need a share on Hod.
Yeah.
There's more, sure. Right? But it's of course it's all the same.
Okay.
To all of us. Not just to me. but we have to
I'm 1 foot on that. It's not like a I'm about to myself, so I'm more of like a Kli Kabel, and therefore this like light can. I'm just connecting dots.
What it is that when a person who's be'etzem, someone who's able to be machnia themselves, when I machnia myself for you, I'm also lechora able to be machnia myself to Hashem, and to a deeper wisdom. So that's going to be in me. So when I look out and I see someone shining, I know that they're connected to something deeper. I know that they are glowing that deeper light, that deeper connection, because they're embodying the Mida of Hod. But when you try to do the Mida of Hod, you now have to do the same thing that person is clearly doing, which is being machniah themselves to something deeper, or machniah themselves to something outside of them, right? There's a nava in Hod. So that's how you get there. So it's... And we'll close with this, and then Bezus Hashem. We'll come back to this other part, which is going to blow. All of this was a hukdama to give you the other part, by the way. Like dead serious. Like, well, this was all built because I wanted to share the second page.
So we have to make sure everyone listens.
It's okay. Just the final thought is, Rabbi Nachman says that, right, the days are for Hod. So how do you do that? The point is to appreciate everything in the world. Not just to appreciate everything in the world, stam, to appreciate that it's going to bring you up to a hakara of Hashem. Right? That's like everything we just said. The goal is that it reconnects you to your shorish. It reconnects you to Kaddish Baruch Hu. So I appreciate Avi. I appreciate the cup. I appreciate Jacob. I appreciate the people in this room and the things at the table. And where is my appreciation going? It's taking me back to Kaddish Baruch Hu. So when you go through the Midah of Hod, which is what we're supposed to be doing, that's like the Avoda of Hanukkah, it's supposed to bring you back to Chachma Elokis. Right? It brings you back to Hashem. A wisdom that connects you back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And from that, Rav Huttner says, and if you do that right, so you yourself become the candle, you'll be the person who's Chachmas Adam Ta'ir Panav, because Chachma always comes back and relates through. You go through Hod to get to Chachma, and then once you have the Chachma, it comes through you, and you become the thing embodying Hod in the world. And you become that light everywhere you go, right? That's really the avoda. And that's why we're going to speak about it mitzvah chinuch, because the more you're connected up there, the more that it's going to shine through you when you come down here, and that's going to be the most important thing. But we can do this next week if you guys want to go there and actually see inside. Like some pretty unbelievable pieces of Torah that use Hanukkah, which of course makes sense. Begeder chinuch, it uses Hanukkah as the paradigm for how are we going to be better mechanchim, be better parents, be better husbands, friends, everything that we do in this world, right? And especially as a person who's teaching Chachma, right? If that's what you want to do, you want to teach Chachma, you better know what Chachma is and how to be connected to it the right way, and then you can give it over to
them. Wow.
Okay. Wow.
Thanks,
Rabbi. Great.
Can I just, on the point of the Greeks' incentive.